Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this final hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman with Joe Hagman. Together, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Look, you could be doing a million other things right now with your time than watching this show. We appreciate the fact that you are taking the time out to become informed, and we hope that we are good stewards, we are good triage managers of the news to bring you what's important out there. Because there's a lot of distractions, a lot of disturbing items here, but we want to thank you for joining us. You know, we have been taken over from within. We are a captured operation. I've said this from really the beginning. excuse me. The fact is, we have, and this is one thing I just want to revisit just briefly here before we engage Joe again and go back. But if you think back to the 1950s, Senator McCarthy, and Senator Joseph McCarthy, and what he did, he exposed the communist infiltration in the government. Now, today, McCarthyism, has become a pejorative phrase. If you read the book by M. Stanton Evans, Blacklisted by History, you'll see that McCarthy was right. Now, he was not the best guy to deliver the message. He was fighting his own demons. But the information he brought forth was correct. Much of it has been revised to suggest, well, the guy was all wrong, and it was this witch hunt, and there's no basis in fact. But if you understand what was happening in the 50s, and go even into the 1990s, you had the archives, and newspaper rooms being documents and items removed from the archives, from files, as late as the 1990s, kind of reminiscent of the late Sandy Samuel Berger excisement of the documents out of the archives. Remember that? Well, that was taking place back in the 1990s as well. But when you look at the template that was used back in the 50s, you had McCarthy come out and say, wait a minute, we're being infiltrated, we've got communists in the State Department. And there were, that's beyond debate. Attempt to have a conversation with a Bernie Sanders supporter or a Hillary Clinton supporter about Senator McCarthy, about the McCarthy hearings, which are different from the House Un-American Activities Committee hearings. Remember, McCarthy was a senator. The House Un-American Activities Committee meetings, that was on the House side. A lot of times people fail fail miserably to make the distinction between the two. The other hearings as well. But having said all of that, that infiltration has not stopped. Now you've got this communist, Marxist, progressive, Fabian socialist slash Muslim or Islamic infiltration that we see manifesting through people like Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, and John Heinz 57 Kerry. Oh, man. Hang on a second. Eric says, don't do that. Those are expensive microphones. I know. I know. All right. But, look. Says Eric.
Hey, that's good ketchup, man. Don't knock my ketchup. Paging Ted Brower.
Yeah, Eric got Ted Brower on line one.
And Eric got hit in the head this week, and it's a long story.
Yeah, well. Incoming. Incoming. Okay, now, on a serious note, again, the taking of America 1-2-3, and also the fact that we are seeing little signs of, we're seeing some cracks in the foundation. I got an email here from Keith. Thank you, Keith, so much for listening. Thank you for being part of our extended family of listeners. Thank you for being part of our family. God bless you, man. Now listen to this, because I've gotten a number of these emails. Joe has gotten a number of these too. Pay very close attention, because this is a crack. Did you ever see a plaster wall, or, you know, think of your windshield or your car. You get a little crack, and then all of a sudden it grows, and then mm-hmm. pretty soon it's all over your windshield, right?
Hey.
This, Keith, thank you. This right here is that crack. Here it is, through our studio email. That's studio@hagmanandhagman.com. Just go to Hagman & Hagman and click on the studio button. Anyway, he writes us. He says, I experienced something a little strange in my area today. When I went shopping earlier today and stopped by the bank to withdraw some money to use for my shopping, the ATM at the bank was not working. Okay? At first, I thought it was no big deal. You know, we all do that, right? However, going to a total of 3 different banks, the same thing took place. The same thing happened. The first thing I thought of was just a glitch in the system. However, I told my friend what happened, and he and I both thought the same thing, that something was something going on, which leads to ask, any reports of that happening in your area? Now, Keith, I'm not sure where you're from. Here you don't tell us that. I would appreciate any thoughts or comments on this matter. I may be wrong, but I personally think that this is just a sign of things to come. Keith, you're absolutely right, because we are getting reports specifically from the Northeast. This is where we're getting it from, the Northeast and the Southwest, two opposing areas of the country, basically, or, you know, whatever you want to. So, if this is happening to you, where you go to Chase Bank and try to use your ATM, and then you go to First National and try to use your ATM, and then you go to Second National and then it ain't working, let us know. But we're getting reports of this. And again, the concentration, now there are some exceptions, but the concentration seems to be in the New England states, as well as the Pacific South, or the Southwestern, the Texas, Southern California, that area of a country. But thank you, Keith, for that. One more, and then I'm going to turn it to Joe for a couple of announcements and some things that we have to take care of. Yeah, maybe I can, right? Maybe I can. Hang on. I know I can. I think I can. If you're not, something is happening here. Oh, wait a minute. So I got to go this way. There we go.
Okay.
So I lost my mouse. No wonder.
That's why I never used the 2-screen thing. Can I do that?
You can do that.
No, mouse is on both screens. You have your PowerPoint going, that's why.
That's right. But anyway, something True News reported, and we are getting many questions about this. Orlando's Walt Disney World may be target for 4th of July terrorist attack. All right. The information I've gotten so far, again, this comes from sources that I known and trusted, and understand that phrase in the intelligence vernacular, known and trusted. That's the highest classification you can get when you're talking about sources, people, okay, known and trusted. In this, the information I've been getting is this, and really from here on out, but it's on specific dates, the Muslim terrorists that were brought in here through, you got to go back to Bush. By the way, I don't like to do it. I mean, when I say I don't like to do it, you have to throw Bush into this, the Bush dynasty, into the mix, because Bush was part of this Islam is a religion of peace. Everyone, let's sing kumbaya. Let's sit around the campfire. Let's roast a goat. Let's have mutton. What's mutton? I don't know. And we're all gonna, you know, we're all just gonna get along, and everything is gonna be puppies and rainbows. Well, that started under Bush and his administration and continued in earnest and on steroids through the Obama regime, the renegade in chief, Barry Satoro. The man who never saw a sausage he didn't like. Did I just say that? What's wrong with me? Anyway. The information I'm beginning is this. It's beginning this weekend and going throughout the summer, you're going to see this escalation of gun attacks, and they are going to be, seriously, they're going to be pretty horrific. When I say horrific, I mean, I guess that would that's redundant. Yes, there is a considerable threat to all theme parks, all places of any gatherings, including Walt Disney World. Islamic attack.
We know. The Pulse nightclub shooter Omar Martin scouted Disney as a target,
and there are more out there. Okay,
Absolutely.
So, the Orlando attack has got many problems with it. I heard from our good friend Archangel, who's from another country, who gave me information saying, you better be looking into this, and I'm going to be talking with him in a very interesting way here about this weekend as well, and getting more information. But folks, please be careful. Please watch your surroundings. Please avoid any crowded areas. And Joe, I want to tell you this too, and I'm going to announce this to the make this announcement to the audience. We were planning on going to the Republican National Convention to cover that convention as with our press credentials.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk about this, we can, but I don't believe we're going to be doing that. Okay. The reason being is there will be a situation, there will be situations where you may not, the people who are covering that may not be able to get out.
Yeah.
Another thing too, and I'm not.
But doesn't the thought of adventure, of being in between Trump supporters and Black Lives Matter and Soros paid protesters, and being in that mix of people with the press credentials, the riot police in their gear, their, you know, non-lethal sound weapons and tear gas. Maybe we can be you know, protected by the little free speech zone with our press credentials and be put in a corner.
Well, yeah.
Or bring our own riot helmets, maybe.
I'm going to bring my Nerf gun, all right? Because, you know,
But one thing that does... I just have a problem with that. When you see people like... when you see hardline establishment Republicans saying they're not going to attend... There is more than just a dislike for Trump as a reason that these people are not attending.
Remember, who was that, Joe? Who was that mayor or dignitary out in San Francisco at 9/11 told not to fly? Wasn't that the mayor of San Francisco? Somebody was told.
Not to fly. Remember that? No, it was an actor, wasn't it?
I don't know. Somebody got the word, hey, Don't fly.
That there was, it's dubbed, you know, the 9/11 Jewish phone calls. I don't know if you.
I think it has
something to do along that line.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, I got the word. You know, don't go. In that same spirit. Now, what am I saying here? Something's going to happen.
You know, there's already been three or four arrests of attempted assassinations on Trump just in the last month.
Right.
Two in the last week.
Wait a second. Do you have something better to put on? Because all we're getting is a white glare on that. There you go. I don't know. Leave that.
Your favorite lady.
Okay. Yeah. Leave it there. All right. Anyway. So, Joe, you got a couple of things to.
Yeah, we've got a couple of announcements I want to make. First of all, again, folks, don't miss out on the Hear the Watchman Knoxville Conference. Low price ticket purchasing offer now. The early registration special pricing is $99. That ends July 4th at midnight, where the price will go to $139. The Hear the Watchman Conference is in Knoxville, Tennessee. It is, go to hearthewatchman.com, folks. Hearthewatchmen.com. It is, let me get the dates here. September 30th through October 2nd. You're going to have Pastor David Langford, Paul Begley, L.A. Marzulli, Paul McGuire, Coach Dave Dobemeyer, Josh Tolley, Flip Benham, J.B. Wells, Russ Dizdar, and more. You got 90 days until the conference. And you can get your tickets for a price of $99, the savings of $40 from the actual price. And you got to do that again before midnight on July 4th. That's when the offer ends. Like I said last night, I'll say again tonight, I'd urge anybody who has the opportunity and time and ability to go. It will be well worth it. Each and every one of the speakers there, just fantastic. I mean, I'd go to Knoxville to see one individually, let alone all these guys together. And if it's anything like Dallas was, it'll just be Holy Spirit-led, fantastic. And I'd urge, like I said, everybody who can go to go. That's hearthewatchman.com. $99 ticket special. Offer ends midnight July 4th. Also, American Survival Wholesales Independence Day Special. They are running Chance from American Survival Wholesale is running his Independence Day Special, but within 16 hours of coming on our show Tuesday, he sold out. Now, he says he will honor deals for the original price for those who missed the offers that he had in stock. But there's a catch. He won't be able to ship them out till July 15th when the product arrives at his Texas warehouse. So, go to American Survival Wholesale, check out their Independence Day special. You can still get it at the discounted rate, but it's going to be 2 weeks before they can be shipped out. And I want to thank Chance and his wife for their wonderful dedication to our listeners and to what they do to help people, not only with survival products, but with the Bible drive, with the prayers, and being such a kind person to our listeners.
Amen. It's great, and we're lucky to have so many great people on board. Healthmasters.com, folks, 5% off.
You know, before you get to Healthmasters, one more thing about American Survival Wholesale. Chance, maybe you can come up with the American Summer Special. Freeze-dried, storable, GMO-free hamburgers and hot dogs. Maybe even with the bun.
Well, we can also use the Minuteman stove, rocket stove, to cook. And I'll tell you, folks, Minuteman rocket stoves are fantastic. And that's something. If you go to HagmanHagman.com, click, or HagmanReport.com, click on the link to the Minuteman rocket stove. You won't believe it. It's a high quality item. But yeah,
I think on July 4th, we might show people how that works.
Yeah, perhaps we will. We got something special lined up for you this 4th of July. Independence for 13 colonies back in 1776 when people, you know, anyway. I want to just give you a little bit of background here, too. You know, imagine a Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton presidency. Just imagine that.
We were talking about this. About doing a segment or an hour of the show from the perspective of a year into the Clinton
presidency. So you'd be silent for a year because we'd be
well, it would be right at that cusp of, you know, this is the last broadcast.
Yeah, right. Well, consider this, and I don't know how many people know this, but the relevance of this is beyond. I mean, this is relevant. All right, you know. Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, you know, her body double, or her body person.
Bill?
No, her body person. Huma Abedin. All right. Imagine her in the White House. Well, guess what? How many people, where do you think she was on September 11th, 2001?
Huma?
Huma. Yeah.
Where was her husband? At White
Wiener?
House? I'm going to say the White House.
The White House? No. So where do you think Huma,
Huma was? Was Clinton a senator in New York at that time?
What, you thinking Monica Blue Dress Lewinsky? No. Or am I thinking that? No.
Wasn't Hillary Clinton a senator like in 2001, 2002?
Yeah, and I got... I had to do an investigation that took me to the Buffalo airport, and I happened to be there when she flew in during her stuff. She was campaigning, and I couldn't get out. But no, folks, where was Huma Abedin on September 11th, 2001? And why should we care? Well, the why should we care will become obvious. Huma, one of Hillary Clinton's closest confidants, the closest, and I wonder, you know where I'm going with that, right, guys? Never mind. Anyway, she was working for an organization that the government, the United States government, wanted to put on a list of terrorist funders.
Wait, what? Can you repeat that?
Can I repeat that? Yeah. Huma. I just like saying that. Huma. On that fateful day, she was working for an organization that the United States government wanted to put on a list of terrorist funders.
Okay.
Now, Breitbart reported this. I'm not sure if it's still up there or not, but she was working in the London offices of the Institute for Muslim Minority Affairs and the Journal for Muslim Minority Affairs publications, one writer called the Abedin Family Business. She worked there, and she worked in the offices as the assistant editor of the JMMA, that's the Journal for Muslim Minority Affairs. Now, those offices were owned by the Muslim World League. And guess who ran that? Runs that? The Saudi-run group with the Islamist, Wahhabist leanings. The Muslim World League wasn't just their landlord. There were significant ties between the organizations and the publications. This, according to not just Breitbart, but the Conservative Tribune and author and researchers on both. Now, this was also in Harper's Magazine back in 2004, but anyway, less than a month after 9/11, Newsweek had reported that two interrelated global charities directly financed by the Saudi government, the International Islamic Relief Organization and the Muslim World League, had been used by bin Laden to finance his operations. Now, I know some of you people might say, well, wait a second, you know, 9/11 was an inside job and so on. Okay. it doesn't lessen the number of potential co-conspirators, and even if this was if there was criminal conspiracy with some people in the know inside the government, that doesn't mean that Muslims weren't involved. Certainly not. But think about this. So you've got Huma Abedin, the close confidant, and perhaps, you know, I'll just leave it at that. Huma Abedin, Clinton's extra special person working for this organization that the United States wanted to put on the terrorist watch list, Islamic terrorist watch list. So you had Abedin, who's married to, of course, Wiener, there's a lot of questionable, but nonetheless, she has direct ties to Islamic terrorist organizations. Mm-hmm. And there you have it. I don't know how many people know that. And folks, by the way, speaking of Hillary Clinton, Hillary Clinton is front and center in the Benghazi deception. Please, if you go to canonfreepress.com, you're able to comment on my article, The Benghazi Deception, because the article is The Benghazi Deception Continues. It's all about Syria. It's all about World War III. It's all about reshaping the Middle East, the power structure. And Clinton is front and center in this, which goes back to her emails, which goes back to Clinton's visit with Lynch, which goes back to... It's the same people. Same people.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. So,
a few things I want to hit on. First,
yes,
this something I read this morning. Apparently, ex-Pope Benedict release some memoirs. In memoirs, ex-Pope Benedict says Vatican gay lobby tried to wield power. Former Pope Benedict says in his memoirs that no one pressured him to resign, but alleges that a gay lobby inside the Vatican tried to influence his decisions, a leading Italian newspaper said on Friday. The book called The Last Conversations is the first time in history that a former pope judges his own pontificate after it's over. It is due to be published on the 9th of September. Citing health reasons, Benedict in 2013 became the first pope in six centuries to resign. And Tom Horn and Chris Putnam called that in their book Petrus Romanus before it happened. The article continues to say, he promised to remain hidden to the world and has been living in a former covenant in the Vatican Gardens. Now, Italy's Della Sera Daily, which has acquired the Italian newspaper rights for excerpts and access to the book, ran a long article on Friday summarizing key points. In the book, Benedict says that he came to know of the presence of a gay lobby made up of four or five people who were seeking to influence Vatican decisions. The article, Benedict says, he managed to break up this power group. Benedict resigned following a turbulent papacy that included the so-called Vati Leaks case, in which his butler leaked some of his personal letters and other documents that alleged corruption and power struggle in the Vatican. Italian media at the first time reported that a fraction of prelates wanted to discredit Benedict and pressure him to resign was behind the leaks. The Pope's diary. The Church has maintained its centuries-long opposition to homosexual acts, but right campaigners have long said many gay people work for the Vatican, and Church sources have said they suspect that some have banded together to support each other's careers and influence decisions in the bureaucracy. Pope Benedict, who now has the title Emeritus Pope, has always maintained that he made the choice to leave freely. And in the book, Benedict again denies blackmail or pressure. He says he told only a few people close to him of his intention to resign, fearing it would be leaked before he made the surprise announcement. But again, Pope Benedict says there is a gay lobby in the Vatican that was pressuring him to make decisions and to change church policy, in which he says that he broke up their power band.
Man, that's a surprise.
But
color me surprised. Okay.
But to think, when I read this story, you're talking about, and, you know, parentheses, the Holy Roman Catholic Church, the head of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The alleged God, you know, vicar of Christ.
Yeah.
Christ's fake replacement on earth.
Well, it is mortal replacement, man and man, yeah, or is,
and they're talking about
the word vicar, of course, the Latin
power
word.
Lobby inside the most known church in the and powerful church in the world.
But this is part of the taking of this country, even though this is in the Roman See or the Papal See. This is part of the overtaking of this country because you've got this. This Vatican initiative to weaken the Catholic Church and to distill their stance on homosexuality, and pretty soon it's going to be again a crime to talk about homosexuality in the negative. There's so much more. Hang on. I want to just...
I got an economic juice when you're ready.
All right. Well, look, last month, this country accepted more than 2,300 Syrian refugees. Mm-hmm. That was in June alone.
Eight were Christian.
Right. Right. Think of that. All right. So far this year, the total has gone well over the 5,000 mark. It's putting the government on track to to surpass Obama's goal of 10,000 by the end of September. No screening. This set a monthly record for DHS and the State Department, which committed resources to streamline the process. In other words, they're using our tax dollars to get these refugees in quicker.
And did you see Germany say that for the next 4 years is going to cost them $86 billion to take care of the refugees that they've inherited?
The Cloward Piven strategy, too. And you just, it's all there. You know, nothing new under the sun. But in Sweden, we can be thankful. In Sweden, they've got this plan now.
Bracelets?
Yeah. I mean, so now
talk about
women don't have to worry. Okay. Yeah. Women don't have to worry about being raped in Sweden. They're rolling out a new initiative that they're sure it's going to work. If you want to announce the initiative,
they're going to wear bracelets.
Yeah, don't touch me bracelets. It's going to say, don't touch me on them.
I'll make a prediction right now.
Yeah?
Women wearing those bracelets will be, by majority, the ones who are attacked.
I mean, you talk about insanity.
You may as well just put, sign on
just
you.
Say no. You can't even make this stuff up. It's sickening to the fact that...
I mean, a whistle would be a better idea.
No, you know, what would be a better idea is the fact that, or if we had no...
abstinence?
No, you know, you bring these people in who are promising not to assimilate, who are...
Right, who are Sharia compliant.
Right, and same thing in the United States. You know, what we're seeing in Sweden is going to take place in some town in Iowa.
It is.
And we're already seeing it take
Idaho.
Place everywhere. Yeah, Idaho, it happened.
And did
to
you
that girl.
Hear?
Yes, I did, but go on. I know what you're going to say.
One of the attackers of the...
Yep.
Young little girl that was attacked by three refugee children lives next door to the girl. Now he's outside playing with neighborhood kids.
Yep.
She is inside due to fear. Can't go outside while the 7-year-old sexual attacker is free to roam the streets and still lives next door to her.
You know,
not incarcerated. Not in any, social
and the parents of the victim
re-engineering the brain.
But the parents of the victim were told to shut up and take it because otherwise,
next they'll be told to move.
You're a xenophobic, racist idiot.
We're talking about how old was the girl? 5? Yeah, she was young.
Young,
very young.
Yeah,
sexually assaulted by 3 refugee children.
Yep.
And she is still being she is obviously a victim, but she's still being attacked.
Right.
By the neighbor who was one of the attackers, by him being able to still be free.
Right.
By him still being able to live in that house next door to the victim.
Yep. Well, hey.
Now, do you think for one second, if you and I mean, even if you robbed your neighbor, for instance, do you think you'd be allowed to live next door to him? How come they can't get a restraining order?
Well, if I
shouldn't these people lose their right to live in that location after such a horrific attack happened? This little girl's going to be scarred for life from what happened already.
Right.
Need to continue to wound and to injure.
And folks, you know, you might think that this is unchristian-like. And I don't believe it is, but the brazen nature of the Islamic terrorists who have entered this country. And if you think for one moment, if you are out there listening to this and saying, you guys are racist and xenophobic and anti-Muslim. Yeah, you know what? I am anti-Muslim. Absolutely. I have no problem saying that, because if Muslim teaches you that you can, without any type of punishment, you can rape women and you can have your way with women and you can kill Christians and you can blow yourself up, then yeah, I'm anti-Muslim. But the fact of the matter is, we are seeing the laws being perverted and the rights. There are no rights of Christians anymore. There are no rights, they're eroding quickly. There are no rights of people who want to live free in this country. It is these progressive, it reminds me of Red Dawn. The original Red Dawn, when that really idiotic, wuss, spineless, mealy-mouthed politician, sucked at the teat of the invaders just so he could live, and he sucked up to everybody, right? Remember that guy who saw the original Red Dawn? What a pathetic puss he was, all right? So this is what they want you and I to be. Now, you might say this is not Christian. Well, somebody's got to get out there and say this. Somebody has got to say, not today, not us. And certainly, folks, let me ask you.
Hey, open the studio email, because this relates to
What are we leaving to our children and our grandchildren? Okay, studio email.
We got
to
make a clarification for Suzanne. I want to thank Suzanne for sending this email.
Okay, go ahead.
It's churches and programs involved in saving lives. Now, I think she kind of takes us to task a little bit with love, but I think it's most, if not all of your guests are not informed about the churches and ministries providing alternatives to abortion. Instead, blame the church for not getting involved. We are involved in saving more lives every day. Well, that's fantastic, Susan.
Okay.
These outreach ministries approaching the heart of the matter, the person making the choice. With the gospel and with the alternatives, adoption, support, etc. Please, for the love of God, get your facts straight. You will maintain your credibility among your Christian audience. Irrespective of the rulings, abortion is a personal choice. By approaching the women who wish to make the choice and educating them and giving them the gospel, it is a heart issue. The more mothers who choose life, the weaker the system becomes, and she's talking about.
Okay, I'm not sure what facts do we have to get straight.
No, I think what she's saying is she's hearing us and our guests constantly attack the church for not doing what they're supposed to do, while she's saying, "Here, I'm involved," and she gives a link to a website about a pro-life outreach. But Susan, there are people like Pastor Flip Benham or Reverend Flip Benham, Coach Dave, and many others who are out there in front of abortion clinics every day. And the only churches we blame are the ones that do nothing.
Okay, yeah. And thank you, Suzanne.
And the website she gives out is a Calvary Chapel pro-life outreach page.
And you're right, Joe. And Suzanne, you're not wrong. You are absolutely correct. However, more churches today, the seeker-friendly, prosperity-based gospel churches, are saying, well, we're not going to get involved in that subject. Yep. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, He put out a video, I think it's like 2 minutes or 1 minute video, I don't know, it was about 5 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, looking for someone else or everyone else. I don't recall the exact title, where he would call a pastor, say, hey, you want to come with me and we're gonna stand in front of the abortion clinic and attempt to dissuade women or educate women.
Right. It's not about protesting abortion. Right. It's just about saving children.
Right. But the pastor of that particular church was too busy, and everyone he contacted, no, can't do it today, whatever. But see, the problem is this. And again, Suzanne, this is not, we're not talking about you. The problem is the churches, the Christian groups, and the Christians who would rather sing louder as they are in their church mm-hmm. service over the clickety-clack of the rails, of the trains going over the rails that are carrying the Jews to the concentration camps, rather than get out of their pews and to get out there and stop the train and grab the Jews and save the Jews, or at least make a stand.
No, they would turn the music up so they didn't have to hear the
trains. They would sing louder so they didn't have to hear the screams of the Jews and the cattle cars being taken to their concentration camps. Those are the people, those Christians who say, well, I'm a Christian because I did attend church service, but we don't talk about the sodomite, the sin of the sodomite. We don't talk about things like abortion clinics. We can't.
Right. And you taught me this, you know, the opposite of hate.
The opposite of
love is not hate.
It's indifference.
It is indifference. And the Bible is very clear about that. Jesus speaks about that in Revelation. But, he says, I'd rather you would be hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm and indifferent, I will vomit you out of my mouth.
Exactly. But
he'd rather you be pro-abortion than do nothing and be indifferent about it.
There is a revolution brewing in this country. There's a civil war brewing in this country. They are not, I mean, they're two separate things. I understand that, but understand they're both brewing and they're being fomented by the powers behind the curtains. Now, what is taking place as well, there's also this emasculation of the man. And I got a lot of emails about this saying, well, you can't blame somebody, you know, chemical castration and what's happened to us through vaccinations and all this. Well, wait a second. Okay, to the guys who still have manberries out there, okay, if you still got manberries, and if they're brass, then take them with you and find your intestinal fortitude and let's make a stand as men and as Christians and as leaders of our families and as protectors of our families. Let's make a difference. Let's give Coach Dave Dobenmeyer a call and say, Coach, put me in the game. I'm ready to play. Yes, there's a song like that. Okay. Let's take up the mantle of leadership, if you are a man out there, and if you're a Christian man listening to this, let's do something. Let's go out and make a difference. We're trying to make a difference through informing and inspiring and educating and getting the word out and whatever we can possibly do. This is what we're trying to do. And every chance I get, I'm trying to throw a monkey wrench into the cogs of the New World Order and of the TSA goons and of the,
mm-hmm.
the people who are not standing up or the enemies of freedom. I'm doing everything I possibly can, but we need more players. We need more people to get in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say you're a Christian and then spend all of your time cutting up other Christians or sniping at other Christians because, well, you know what? It's not really the way to do it. Okay? Because there are plenty of you guys out there. You're a dime a dozen. You're nothing. All right? Anyone can take that job. So let's do this. Let's rock. Saddled for battle. Let's get in the game. And you know what? We're going to be victorious because we know how this story ends.
But and there are people out there who are isolated, who are confined, who are disabled, and think to themselves, well, I can't do these things. But you know what you can do? You can let your ideas about better ways to reach out to these people be known.
Yeah.
You can join. I mean, one great thing about the internet is the advanced ability and spreading of information. And another thing is the connectivity. And I'm not talking about the Facebook social media connectivity. I'm talking about the ability to set up chat rooms, to find like-minded people, to have Bible studies for people who only have the internet to with and the ability to connect with other people through the internet.
That's right.
I mean, there is no...
Do something.
I mean, every and anybody has the ability to impact and make change. It's the fact of putting in the effort and trying. That's where it starts. Are you going to fail? Maybe.
And if you do, I mean, if we get your butt back up again, dust yourself off. I mean, I watch
every show. We sit here and
fail
we'll
a
say,
lot of times. Yeah. I mean, as a kid, all right. And it might sound mean, but I grabbed him by the scruff of the neck, put his foot back up, you know, made him dust himself back off, and get back in the game. Go back.
Yeah.
You ain't done. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, you talk about backsliding. There should be a crown I wear for that.
Yeah, we don't even want to get into the backsliding, but you know what? We all have different stages of
backsliding. We have to look forward, and we have to understand. And Paul McGuire talked about it yesterday, about our intentions, our motives in what we do, and why we do things. And they have to be pure. We can't have an agenda of, well, I'll participate in this Bible study, or I'll help feed this group because I'm going to get this out of it or that out of it. It has to be out of love for your fellow human being. And just to be a part of being able to help somebody and the joy that you get from that.
That's right.
Not because it'll make you look good to your friends or to who, you know, it has to be pure. You have to do it for, you have to be selfless in your actions.
There you go.
And that's the only way to do it. I want to hit this piece before we run out of time. Mark Faber. All paper currencies are doomed. And this is on CNBC.com. All paper currencies are doomed thanks to central bank policies around the world, said Mark Faber, editor of the Gloom, Boom, and Doom report. They are all going to become worthless because of money printing. In other words, the purchasing power is going to diminish continually as it has diminished over the last 100 years. Faber, known as Dr. Doom, said in an interview with CNBC's Power Lunch Friday. The Brexit vote last week means even more money printing in the UK, Japan, and the US, he said. Therefore, he expects the dollar to go down against gold, silver, and platinum, which he believes are going to vastly outperform the U.S. stock market. Notice how after the Brexit, we saw almost a 1,000-point downturn on the Dow. Well, it went back up above 1,800 this week, showing the absolute delusion of some people and the desperation of the government to prop this up. Home prices are down 4%. In sales, or the value of home prices, are said to have dropped another 4% in the coming month. Food prices. One economist this week warned 395% increase in food prices in America. Others just said it would be double. Look what's happening in Venezuela. Why are we not hearing about the food lines in Venezuela? Because they've turned into riots. They've turned into, it's turned into chaos.
It's coming here. It's coming here. They don't want you to see
they don't want you to see. That's why we're not hearing reports about people waiting 14 hours in line for a bag of rice or diapers. That's why it's silent.
But see, if you're a Christian out there and you say prepping is just lacking faith in God, well then shame on you. Because I'll tell you something, if you don't believe in it, or if you think you're going to be out of here, or whatever the story might be, maybe that could be left for your neighbor.
Exactly. And when it says in the Bible, care not about what you're going to eat tomorrow, you can have that same mentality while prepping. Because what my dad just said, I mean,
I mean, are you sitting here and worry?
Right. It's a mentality is what I take away from it. And, you know, we can't be so worried about our needs. We have to have faith that the Lord will provide. But if we're in a position to provide for others, we are called to do so. And it says those who do not provide for their own families are worse than infidels. Those who do not work do not eat. And it also talks about preparation in the Bible. The parable of the talents. You have the 10 virgins and the oil, the 5 wise virgins.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and
those stories are there for a reason.
That's right.
Don't prepare to think that's going to be your saving grace in the tribulation times. Prepare so you know that if you're alive and remain alive and are able to stay alive, that you have it to help your family and others. We have to get out of the selfish mentality.
Yeah.
We have to get out of the flesh carnal mentality. And when we look at things from a spiritual perspective, the whole perception changes. But that doesn't come overnight. That comes with work. That comes with prayer. That comes with walking in obedience with the Lord. And people need to take care of that. Because we are going into times, as John Kerry says, we're not in a frozen nightmare. Well, yes, we are, John Kerry, and it's not frozen. It's getting worse every day. John Kerry says this as he's defending Obama's administration's geopolitical record. The Secretary of State laid out a vision of an America that is globalist, engaged, and deeply interventionalist.
Have you ever heard the globalist mantle and the nationalist mantle used so much?
Conspiracy theorist if you believe in globalism.
Right.
That's what I've heard.
Well,
for most of my life.
So everything
there's no
we're
such
seeing
thing
is
a new world order.
Right, of course not. There's no such... Yeah. Okay. Folks, I just want to take 2 minutes here real quick as we close the program out. I just... There's something that's on my heart I just want to say to each and every one of you. Come here. You know, this 4th of July, I don't want this to be our last 4th of July. I don't want this to be our last Independence Day. When I say that, I'm not talking about the life as we know it being over. I'm saying it that I don't want this to be our last free 4th of July. The last time we're able to speak freely. The last time we're able to speak without being afraid of being arrested. When you are at your parties, your picnics, your barbecues this 4th of July, pray first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Pray.
Be grateful.
Be great. That's right. But also know why. Know why you've got the day off of work, if you do. Or know why we're celebrating the 4th of July. Now, you might say, well, America is not a Christian nation. It wasn't founded in the Christian, the forefathers. Okay.
Maybe, I even agree with
right.
some of that.
Yeah, but maybe you're right.
The citizens were.
Right.
America,
yeah.
as we know it, aside from our elitist, satanic, globalist leaders, was a Christian nation. And still can be.
What we need to do, I think, is we need to help as many people as possible understand where we're at, why we're here, and what we need to change in order to affect where we're headed. And let's take this opportunity this holiday weekend to do just that. Join us on... for a special 4th of July program that we're cooking up for you now. And folks, also, I'm going to be on the Common Sense Show on Sunday night for 2 hours with Dave Hodges. I also have something planned this weekend. Hopefully we'll bring fruit of information next week. I believe it will. And then also, as well, if anything does happen, please look at our website, HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. and for instructions in terms of how you can hear what we've got to say about whatever might be happening. This is a dangerously explosive weekend if you're a Christian, a conservative, or even an American. Joe,
stay safe. Keep your eyes open.
Right.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy it. We'll see you back here on July 4th on Monday.
You guys are great, by the way.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com.